turn in your Bibles this morning to Psalm chapter 27. We're going to put off getting back in the series in Romans another week, and let's look at the Psalms this morning. So open your Bibles to Psalm 27. If you didn't bring a Bible with you this morning, there's a Bible in the pocket of the pew in front of you. You can grab that. Psalms is right in the middle. We'll look at Psalm chapter 27, and let's ask for the Lord's help before we look at his word together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is true. And I pray that we would receive your word today as the word of God, that we would believe what you've said, that we'd live in the light of it, that we'd obey what you've said. Help us to learn what you want us to learn, to change in the ways that you want us to change, even to repent in the ways that you want us to trust in the ways that you want us to today. We just ask you for your help by your Spirit, and in the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray, amen. Last week, my family and I were in Arkansas visiting my mother and my sister, and my brother came up from Texas. We had a great time with family. My sister wanted to go visit this really amazing art museum that's in the town near where we live in Arkansas. I live in Fayetteville, and we went to this art museum in Bentonville, Arkansas. It's like world-class art museum in the middle of the sticks in Arkansas, because the founders of Walmart live there. And they plopped it right down in the woods. And it's amazing. So we went to this art museum, and then we were in separate cars. Like my family was borrowing my mom's car, and then my mom was riding back to the house to meet us with my aunt. My aunt was driving, and it's a highway, and she got on the highway, and my aunt was driving. And she's, you know, going down the highway at 70 miles an hour, and a tire blew. And she swerved to the median. She lost control of the car, swerved to the median, swerved back over to the shoulder, swerved again to the median, swerved again to the shoulder, and ended up, like, facing the rail on the shoulder. Just stopped right there. No damage. Everybody's fine. My mom and my aunt were really rattled. These two guys that were, like, driving a truck that's, like, with a lawn service stopped and changed the tire for them, and the donut was flat, and they got a bicycle pump out of their truck and pumped it up. So everything was fine. But when something like that happens, doesn't it make you a little bit fearful? Like, I just was thinking about what could have happened, you know? They could have hit somebody, could have killed somebody. Could have been killed, just wild. And then when you get behind the wheel again, it's like a little bit frightening, right? Just to think of just how life could be taken away, something that you're not planning on could happen. It's scary. And not just driving, but a lot of things can happen in our lives that we don't expect, we're not anticipating, we don't have control over. And it's scary. And the psalm that we're going to read today is about how to face frightening things, how to face fearful things and things that you dread. I mean, maybe you have some things that you think about sometimes when you're trying to go to sleep at night that are like, I really hope that doesn't happen. Things that you dread. How do you face that? In the psalm that we're going to read, the writer David, you know, the great king of Israel, David, shows us how we can face fear. So let me read it, and then we'll look at it. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Whom shall I dread? When evildoers came against me to devour my flesh, my foes and my enemies stumbled and fell. Though an army deploys against me. My heart will not be afraid. Though a war breaks out against me, I will still be confident. I have asked one thing from the Lord. It is what I desire, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, gazing on the beauty of the Lord and seeking him in his temple. For he will conceal me in his shelter in the day of adversity. He will hide me under the cover of his tent. He will set me high on a rock. Then my head will be high above my enemies around me. I will offer sacrifices in his tent with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Lord, hear my voice when I call. Be gracious to me and answer me. My heart says this about you: seek his face. Lord, I will seek your face. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not leave me or abandon me, God of my salvation. Even if my father and mother abandon me, the Lord cares for me. Because of my adversaries, show me your way, Lord, and lead me on a level path. Do not give me over to the will of my foes. For false witnesses rise up against me, breathing violence. I am certain that I will see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart be courageous. Wait for the Lord. This is God's word. In this psalm, David apparently is in a very scary situation, a dreadful situation. If you look at verse 1, he says, "Whom shall I fear?" I mean, he's saying that he doesn't need to fear because the Lord's on his side, but to anybody else looking at the situation, it would have been like, you should be very afraid right now. So, and then he says, "Whom shall I dread?" So there's a lot for him to worry about. If you look at verse 2, he says, evildoers came to devour my flesh. So, don't know exactly the situation, but we've read in 1 Samuel all about David's life, and there were times when people were trying to kill him, to devour his flesh. Sometimes even people that he had been close to in the past, people who he had loved, are now turning on him and trying to kill him. He was also fighting against Israel's enemies at certain times. In verse 3, it says, even if an army deploys against me. So, like, even if he's in the middle of a war, you know, so, and David was in wars. He fought with armies. Some of you have been deployed with the military, and it's a dreadful, fearful thing to face an opposing military that wants to wipe you out. He says, even if this war breaks out against him, he's going to be confident. In verse 9, he says to God, "Don't hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger." So here he's asking for God's help, and there's potential that God wouldn't hear him. I mean, that's something we might worry about. If I ask for God's help, maybe he won't listen. Or maybe he's mad at me. You know, maybe God is angry. And so that's something else that he's worried, or he could be worried and fearful about, and that some of us sometimes are worried about. If you look at verse 10, he says, even if my father and mother abandoned me, and then he's saying the Lord would care for me. But I don't think David is saying that his father and his mother are abandoning him, but it could happen. And, you know, like, there are people that you count on who are close to you, and then sometimes they turn on you, or sometimes they die, and they're not there. So you know, that's something to be fearful about. The people that gave you a sense of security, you know, growing up as a kid, I felt a lot of security in my grandparents' homes. There was just something really special about that. And then now that they're gone, it's sort of like this level of security over you is missing, you know, and you've experienced that, I'm sure. Then if you look at verse 12, he talks about false witnesses rising up against him. So there are people accusing him of things that aren't true. What's there to be afraid of there? Well, losing your reputation, getting everyone stirred up against you, that's a loss too. Like if you felt a certain security in your community and then you lost it, your community turns against you, that's something to be afraid of. We sometimes are afraid of things like that. And look at verse 13. He says, I'm certain that I'll see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living. So what he's saying here is, I know God is going to save me and I'm going to stay alive. But it seems to me like there's a deeper meaning in those words. You don't usually just say land of the living. Like, I don't really talk about Canterbury that way. I know that I'm going to keep on living in Canterbury, the land of the living. I wonder if what he's saying is, even if I die, you know, even if God allows me to die, there's something on the other side, a place where people are alive, a realm where people are alive, and I know I'm going to see God there, okay? And so it's kind of the fear that he's facing is, what happens after death? Is there anything there? If there is, will it be good? You know, if God is on the other side, will he accept me? You know, how can I face that? So that's a fear that people have. What happens with death? Okay. We don't know the exact stage at David's life where he wrote this. Like I said, early in his life, he's anointed to be king, but the current king, Saul, was sometimes his friend and then sometimes throwing spears at him and sometimes sending raiders out to kill him in the woods. So there's those things going on. It sort of sounds like to me that's the setting for this psalm, but the words are sort of general enough that it could fit a lot of different situations. There are other times when he is king and he's leading armies to fight against Israel's enemies. There are times, there's a very famous and important time when he sinned against God and he's worried about, he could have been worried about God's acceptance for a time, God's forgiveness. At the end of his life, he's been king a long time and his son leads a rebellion against him, stirs up some of his own troops and administrators against him, and so there's this civil war, and David has to go into exile for a time, and that's a very difficult and scary situation. So there's a lot of different times when David could have written this psalm. It's broad enough that it fits a lot of our situations, and we can connect to it in the different kinds of situations that we're in. What are we afraid of? When are we tempted to be afraid? Or when do we feel dread? Sometimes you hear on the news about international events and you can be afraid of war happening. You can be afraid of violence, international violence or just local violence. Sometimes even within families, there's violence. For most of us, this isn't a very real and present danger, but for some of us it is. And even if it doesn't seem like a real high possibility, it could be something that we worry about. There's also the temptation to give into the dread of losing something that's precious to us or something that makes us feel secure, our financial security. You can lose a lot of money real fast. Like something can happen and it's gone, right? It can happen. You can lose your job and there goes a certain level of security. You can lose your health in an instant. or gradually. It can happen. You can lose your reputation. It's hard to get that back when you lose your reputation, and we worry about that sometimes. Sometimes you lose it for the wrong reasons, or you know, it's not a true thing, but people spread a false rumor about you, and then sometimes you do something and really stick your foot in it and lose your reputation that way. I've been there. You can lose relationships, lose loved ones. Sometimes these big transitions in life. I was speaking to some parents yesterday who have a son who's making the transition into adulthood, you know, launching out into the world. And there's when you leave your parents' home, there's a level of security that's gone, and you have to face things on your own. And there are other transitions in life where it can be difficult and scary to go through these times. And we don't like to think about it, but we all have to face death. We all have to face God. Our culture is really good at keeping us distracted from thinking about these things. But isn't it true that even with all the distractions and all the busyness around us, sometimes you feel that fear? Sometimes you feel that dread. We're humans, and we sometimes that sense of dread can hit us. So we have to face fears. And in this psalm, if that's the background to this psalm, it's just amazing that David, all the way through, is so upbeat and positive and confident. And why is he confident? I guess I shouldn't say why. Who is he confident in? He's confident in the Lord. He knows that the Lord is going to provide for him. The Lord is going to protect him. David is not going to give in to fear. He's not going to give in to dread. This psalm is full of confidence in God. Look at verse 1 again. He says, "The Lord is my light." Like, you know, fear and dread can feel like darkness, right? But he says, "The Lord is my light." He makes everything clear. He lights my path. The wolves come at night. But when it's daytime, you can be more confident. He says, "The Lord is my salvation." And in the immediate context, it's like God is going to protect me in this war that I'm about to fight. But in an ultimate sense, God is going to protect me and save me from my own sin. Save me from Satan and hell, you know. He says, "The Lord is the stronghold of my life," in verse 1. It's like he pictures a fortress, a fort, you know. So if you're on the battlefield and your enemies are attacking you, you run into this fort and you're secure in the fort. But he doesn't say, "The Lord gives me a fort." He says, "The Lord is my fortress." You know, the Lord is my stronghold. I run to him, and when I'm in him, I'm protected. I can be secure. In verse 2, he talks about when evildoers came against him and God delivered him, you know. So he's remembering God's deliverance in the past. And you can do that too. You can think of times in your past where God saved you from a tough spot. And that gives you confidence in the future when you remember that. And then in verse 3, he says, "Though an army deploys against me," and that sounds like even though this is going to happen in the future, I can still be confident. I will still be confident. This is David's heart is so strong with faith, not in himself, but faith in God. In verse 5, he says to God, or he describes God, he says, "He will conceal me in his shelter." What a beautiful picture of God. It's like a house that is a shelter from the elements. God conceals us in his shelter. He hides us in there so that the evil and the danger won't get to us. He says, "He will hide me under the cover of his tent." This is a beautiful picture, you know. If you've ever been backpacking in the woods and the storm comes up or the cold comes and or the bears or whatever you face in the woods, it's good to have shelter. And it's interesting that he says tent here, because there's an allusion to the tabernacle, like where he goes to worship. It used in ancient Israel, there was a tent where the people of God worshiped him. And he's like, in God's presence, in God's tent, there's protection, there's security, there's safety. When I'm close to God, that's when I'm safe. And then he says at the end of verse 5, he will set me high on a rock. And I think that's like when you're fighting a war, when you have the high ground, then you're safer than when you're in the low ground. You know, that they have to charge up to you. And so he's set on a rock and he's like declaring his victory. Then my head will be high above my enemies. Okay. If you look at verse 10, we mentioned this already. Even if everybody else abandons him, he says, the Lord cares for me. Even if my parents, I mean, it's bad when your mom abandons you. But even if your mom says, I don't want to deal with you anymore, the Lord, I pray this doesn't happen to you. The Lord cares for you, you know? The Lord cares for you. And David's confident of that. And in verse 13, he says, I am certain that I will see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living. I'm confident that God is going to save me. I'm confident that I'm going to be alive. And like I told you, you know, whether he saves me now from this war and I survive it, I'm going to be alive. I'm going to be with the Lord in the land of the living. Or if I die on the other side, I'm going to be with the Lord in the land of the living. This is confidence that David has in God. A great example for us. Safety and security are in the Lord. And it's not just that he gives safety and security to us, but he is our safety and our security. We are secure in him. We tend to look for safety and security in various places, but ultimately, our safety and our security are in God himself. There are many things that we look for security in that don't last. Even homes don't last. Our property, our money, this is temporary. Nations are temporary. The government, the military, the economic system. Like, we worry that things are going in a bad direction. But these things are temporary. Our trust can't be in these things. The best things in life don't give us the same security that God does, even friends and family. Our own abilities waver. You can lose your skills. You can lose your health, your ingenuity, your strength. That doesn't last, but God lasts. God is forever. God is strong. And all those things are fallible. All those things can be taken away, but we can trust in God. He'll be there for us even when everything else fails. He provides our shelter, our safety. He can provide money when he wants to. He can provide friendship. He can provide family. But he himself is our ultimate security. And through Christ, God has defeated our worst enemies already. Through Jesus' death and resurrection, he's defeated sin and death and hell and Satan. He accepts us in spite of our sins. God turns away his anger from us because Christ paid for our sins on the cross. God has provided his son, his own son for us. And when we're in him, we're secure, we're safe. So have confidence, brothers and sisters. Have confidence in God's protection. So that was the first theme that I wanted to draw out for you, is David's confidence in the Lord's protection. And I want to also draw out another theme that's in this psalm, and that's David's desire to be close to the Lord. Did you catch that in there? Look at verse 4 again. One thing, this is the way I memorized it as a kid, and now this translation is different, so I'm going to read it the way it says. I have asked one thing from the Lord. It is what I desire, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, gazing on the beauty of the Lord and seeking him in his temple. You would think that David's one desire would just be to stay alive. But his one desire is to be close to the Lord, to be close to him, to dwell in his house. And in ancient Israel, you went to a specific location and worship him. Praise God, we don't have to do that anymore. God is here with us in this room. God dwells in the praises of his people, and he dwells where his people are gathered. He dwells in you through his Spirit if you're a believer in him. David desires to gaze on the beauty of the Lord. Can you, like, I told you I went to that art museum. There's some really beautiful artwork. And when I left there, I thought, you know, we spent a few hours in the museum. I didn't get enough of it to really appreciate it the way I ought to. My brain is not smart enough to soak all that artwork in and to appreciate it in just like one trip through the museum. I could spend a lot more time there, and still I probably wouldn't be able to get to the bottom of it. But you know what's even greater than a work of art? A painting? Jesus, you know, God himself. We can stare at his beauty forever and ever and never get to the bottom of who he is and never stop appreciating something new. You're going to keep seeing something new about how gracious he is, how kind he is, how loving, how righteous, how pure, how holy. We'll never get to the bottom of it. We have eternity to do that, and it'll never be tapped out for us. And David's desire is to be close to God now and to see him now and just even start this side of heaven, to be close to him and appreciate the beauty of our Lord, to sink him in his temple. And as he does that, look at verse 5, he finds his protection and his security, finds his victory. In verse 6, he wants to give sacrifices to God. He wants to worship him even more. Verse 7, he calls out to the Lord. His desire is to be close to him, and so he prays. He calls out to the Lord. Verse 8, he says, "My heart says this about you, seek his face. Lord, I will seek your face." Is that what your heart is telling you? Is your heart telling you, seek God's face? Seek the Lord's face. Is that your one desire? I've got to confess to you, like when I read that, I thought, I want that to be my one desire. You know? So let's pray that if you have this desire to be close to God, pray that you'll be close to God. But if you desire to be close to God, pray for that. Pray that he'll give you the desire, that'll be your heart's desire to seek his face and to be close to him. In verse 11, he asks the Lord to guide him. Wherever he goes, he wants God to show me your way. He says, lead me on a level path. In verse 13, we've looked at it twice already, but he's confident that he will continue to see the Lord even after his death. In verse 14, the last verse of this psalm, this is a pretty amazing description of what faith is. Because, you know, how are we close to God? Who are the people that God receives who are close to him? The people that believe in him, the people who trust in him. Not the good people, but the people who trust, okay? And this is a description of trust. Wait for the Lord. That's one aspect of what it means to trust God. God, I am not able to solve this problem. I am not able to protect myself. I am not able to face my fears. And so what am I going to do? I am going to wait. I'm going to do nothing and trust in you that you're going to provide. That's a description of faith. One aspect of faith is waiting for God. Sometimes when we don't know what to do, the best thing to do is nothing and wait for God. God will go ahead of us and God will work it out. Be strong. Let your heart be courageous. Wait for the Lord. David desired to be close to God, to know him more, to appreciate him, to be in a good relationship with God. He knew that the Lord was what really mattered in life, in death, in eternity. He knew that the Lord is the one who's permanent. The Lord is who gives our life meaning. He's the source of our security. He's totally worth it. Since David was confident in the Lord's protection, he desired to be close to the Lord. So that's the logic of those two themes, how they fit together. He's confident that the Lord is who's going to protect him. So what does he want to do? He wants to be close to the Lord. He wants to be near him, and he knows, if I'm near you, if I'm close to you, then I'm going to be fine because I'm in you. Brothers and sisters, for those of us here who are believers in Christ, we are close to the Lord right now. It's a reality. We're close to the Lord in Christ. We've been brought near to God by the blood of the covenant. We've been adopted into his family. We've been given his Holy Spirit. We make up the temple of the Lord right here in this community of believers. We are the temple of the Lord. He's dwelling here with us. This is true. This is a reality. But do you long to feel close to him? To experience a deeper relationship with him? To feel his love? When we're afraid, because the Lord is our protection, we should seek to be close to him. When you feel afraid, because the Lord is your protection, seek to be close to him. Seek to get close to God. How can we be closer to the Lord? By hearing his voice and his word through his Bible, through his scripture, through obedience. When he tells us what to do, when we obey him, we're closer to him. By gathering with his people, we're closer to him. The Lord is here with us, with his people. And by trusting him, by just waiting for him to act, that's how we can be close to him. By trusting him through doing nothing, by waiting for him to deliver us. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word. I thank you for this psalm. And I just want to pray for your people here that you would strengthen their hearts, strengthen their desire to be close to you, strengthen their confidence in your provision and your protection. I just ask you for that today. Give us hearts that love you, that long for you, that appreciate your beauty, that want more. I pray that you would stir up our desire to be close to you, and I pray that as we seek you, we would find you. Thank you for that promise from Jesus that the one who seeks will find. And we pray these things in his name, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand as we sing the last hymn together.